Now, though, from First Holy Communions to annual novena gatherings and from confirmations to funerals, over the years, Catholics in parishes and communities around the country have relied on their local parish priest and his curates for help and support to practice their faith and deliver the key sacraments. However, a growing decline in the number of priests has raised a significant challenge to the church, with lay people becoming more involved. Evelyn O'Rourke has been finding out more about the situation, and Evelyn is with us now. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Claire.
So this is presenting a real challenge to parish communities.
I mean, it is, of course, Claire. I mean, it's hardly a surprise to say that the number of priests available in parishes is falling, and the amount of priests who are still serving, of course, is an ageing group. And just to put some context on this, and I don't want to kind of blind you with numbers, but in 1970, there were 3,849 diocesan priests, close to 4,000. By 2019 figures, that had fallen to close to 2,400. And the point was made to me that that's a pre-COVID figure and that the figure of current serving diocesan priests could be just under 2,000 now. Now, numbers, they're a little tricky to come by. There isn't a national database as such, and many of the figures that we have aren't compiled by age, but there are estimates out there that the average age of diocesan priests now is 70. And to help out, of course, we hear all the different stories, different responses, such as priests coming from abroad to help out, more lay people getting involved. And Pope Francis has signalled that the church needs to develop roles beyond that ordained ministry, and there's work been done by commission on that very issue.
And to find out more about it, you started by meeting up with Father Michael Collins in Dublin. What did he have to say?
He was really interesting on Clare. He says that the church as an organisation was originally intertwined with so many areas like the church buildings and the schools and healthcare, that the church has a real personnel issue, is how he phrased it, in maintaining and running those bodies. And we had a good discussion around the fallen vocations, all the many reasons why, like that there are more opportunities maybe outside of religious life, the breach of trust and the child abuse scandals, the limited roles for women in the church. And he says the church has to develop more ways for the lay community to get involved, and that relying on older priests to continue to serve is an issue. So here's a little flavour of the very long conversation I had with Father Michael, and he started by discussing his own training and the numbers for him in Clonliffe back in the 1970s.
When I went into Holy Cross College Clonliffe in 77, there was certainly over 90, I think 92 or 93, and there was usually between 10, 15 per class. So the numbers certainly have gone down. And I think, first of all, we're probably a victim of historical success, because Catholic emancipation started in the middle of the 19th century. So there was a sudden building splurge, and the church started building hospitals, orphanages, schools, churches, chapels, what have you. Nowadays, we've got all the infrastructure, we've got the buildings. So in a sense, what we're trying to do is serve all this huge infrastructure with less human resources. And in terms of priests, brothers, nuns, etc., those numbers are going down. And one of the fundamental things which has changed parish life over the last 30 or 40 years has been the unveiling of the clerical child abuse, which has destroyed the lives of so many children. And it is all down to a small amount of perpetrators, but nevertheless, the damage they did has been incalculable. And victims are living with this today. So the challenge now is to allow people to take their role and their part in looking after their own parishes.
Is that extraordinary for you when you reflect back to where you were when you started?
Well, yes, certainly a consolation is to think that the church is 2,000 years old and has weathered all sorts of things. So I wouldn't be too worried about that, but it's not a good idea to see any organisation using old people and people who've gone way past their retirement date. That just doesn't make any sense. So there's only virtually parish priests, or what they call administrators, left. And they're battling away, trying to do a fairly difficult job, I would imagine, and the expectation of the people. So we've got to head into a new way of doing things. But I think definitely key is the people, what we call the lay faithful. It's a lovely expression, that they then would run. But it's all been slipping away like sand from a cliff. And whether Ireland is a better, more inclusive, more loving, more embracing place is difficult to know. I don't know if we are or not, but certainly I think we can see the erosion of that structure as unnerving for a lot of people.
That's Father Michael Collins. And Evelyn, you also spoke to Dr. Brian Conway, and Dr. Conway is a sociologist at Maynooth University who has been studying the patterns of vocations.
Yeah, this is fascinating research on the Catholic callings in Ireland. And he's trying to develop a theory called critical events theory to explain how significant events that happen in the church and society have impacted numbers over the years. Like you find, for example, that there were a few brief signs of more men signing up in the years immediately after Pope John Paul II's visit in 1979. But then he also says, of course, mainly events from Vatican II to the abuse scandals to opportunities in the working world from the 60s onward. The secular opportunity, as it's called, I like that phrase, that has influenced falling numbers. So here, Dr. Brian Conway from Maynooth University tells me more.
A standard explanation that's been advanced over the years has been what's known as the secular opportunity argument. The basic idea is that as opportunities in the secular world increase in a society, the church finds itself competing with these other secular jobs. So trends began to decline, say, from the 1960s. Of course, this also applies to other categories within the Catholic workforce. In fact, this theory has been mostly applied to explain trends in the category of nuns within the church. But I don't think it's the sole explanation either. It's hard to kind of isolate just one single factor. I'd say there's kind of probably little doubt that the scandals contributed to kind of decrease in the attractiveness of the church as a calling. There's probably not much doubt about that. But when you look at the trends over time, it's clear that the decline had set in before the scandals. So I think it's more true to say that they probably intensified the decline that had set in earlier. And most parishes nowadays are struggling with having enough human resources to run them. So many parishes are maybe relying on one elderly priest to fulfill the priestly duties, whereas before it might have been two or three priests operating in the parish. So I suppose clerical resources are being stretched more and more. So there's a heavy reliance on the remaining few. But at the same time, within parishes, we also see new kind of trends and new ministries emerging on the lay side. And this means that lay people are taking on roles that were previously fulfilled solely by clergy. So you see this trend in some ways, it responds to the clerical recruitment decline, but it also kind of reflects a new role for the laity within the church.
And one thing Dr. Conway was saying there is that there are some priests who are serving into a ripe old age. And you found this out for yourself, Evelyn. You met two octogenarians who are still involved with the masses and the funerals.
That's right. I went to visit the Church of the Guardian Angels in Blackrock in Dublin, Clare, after the daily 10 o'clock mass. And the two priests on the altar, wonderful men who really care about their communities and are both so keen to support their parishioners. And their Father Anthony Gahan and Father Bill Fortune, they are 89 and 86 years of age, would you believe? And while both of them were very keen to impress on me that they are pleased to continue serving, you know, they love the responsibility of working with their parishioners, it does seem to raise questions around the responsibility felt by those older priests to continue serving. So here, Father Gahan, an esteemed author of 35 books, he tells me, in his spare time, who's in his 90th year, and Father Bill Fortune, tell me more about their commitment to the church and the ongoing satisfaction it gives them, but some of the challenges. And they spoke to me in the sacristy after 10 o'clock mass.
Father Anthony Gahan, I'm in my 90th year.
Wow.
I've been here for the last 34 years. I was parish priest for 21 years, and I'm retired now for the last 13, but I'm as busy and as happy as ever and as active as ever in the parish. I feel very fortunate in that I'm able to keep active, because essentially I'm a workaholic and I wouldn't be happy otherwise. I say the 10 Mass every morning, and it's terribly important. Well, I think it's worth doing. And I have always been told that service is important. You're meant in this life to be of service to other people.
Are you ever tempted to hit the snooze button and ignore it?
I suppose it's a gift I have. And when I have to give up, for me it'll be a very sad day.
You're 89. Wow.
I intend to keep going for at least another 10 years.
And Bill Fortune, 86. 56 years a priest. When you're ordained, in a sense you take on the same vow as a person who marries. It's commitment to somebody outside yourself. And basically our commitment is to the parishes we are sent to.
Still serve mass?
Of course, baptisms, sacraments, visiting the sick. You take what comes down the road.
So your role is to support the parish?
Yeah, but don't forget I'm not the parish priest.
But do you feel a pressure?
Of course you do.
Do
you're tired. Yeah, you do. Of course you do. When you say pressure, does that mean that you feel there's a gun in the middle of your back? No. And so far, thanks be to God, there have been bumps and sad times indeed. But I mean, to have been given such a worthwhile life and a contented life, you know, thank God. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be like or the day after. I don't count chickens. I'm a great friend of all. Everything in life is 97 against. And if you accept that, you don't go around with cracked expectations.
But would you like to do less?
But of course I would. So I have family system as an invalid, you know, so I'd like to give more time there. But you can only do so much. At present moment, I'm not a scarcity value, I've got a rarity value.
89 and 86 are extraordinary men. And Evelyn, the church is looking to develop new roles and options for lay people to become more involved. And the role of the permanent deacon, that's one route that some are taking.
Yeah, growing interest in this role, Claire, a role that offers men who want to develop their role within the church, a sort of a structured presence, because they can preach or they can help at funerals, they can prepare communities for sacraments such as the First Holy Communion, and they carry out charity and outreach work. So you can see how it's a great role in terms of that. But last year in the Tumarch Diocese, three men were ordained as permanent deacons and got the chance to sit down and speak to one of them, Cathal Galligan, just to find out a little bit more about his role. And he told me that his faith, for example, has always been very, very important to him. He's married, so he was looking for a role within the church, and this opportunity of being a deacon really suits him.
Permanent deacon, it's an ordained ministry, something that would have been in the church from the Acts of the Apostles. They call it a ministry of service. So a deacon is somebody who's there at the service of the church. And they're always very conscious that a deacon is not like a mini priest or something just there because there's a shortage of priests. It has its own sort of distinct ministry. So a permanent deacon is not somebody who's taken away from, say, what the laity do, but rather is somebody who has a foot in both camps, sort of like a bridge between clerical and the lay. We can talk about the things that a deacon can do that a priest does, like read at Mass and preach and do baptisms and preside over certain parts of the funeral. But another side of the permanent diaconate is, and the bigger side, ironically, is charity, to visit the sick, visit prisoners, hospital visits, promote the social teachings of the church. And in that way, it goes out to the community. And my faith has always been important to me. It brings a sort of sacred dimension to it that wouldn't necessarily have been there as a layperson.
You were somebody who was training for the priesthood back in the day.
Yeah.
So you were probably looking for something a little bit later in life that gave you that close connection with ministry. Is that fair to say?
So for me, I was always involved in my faith and doing stuff. So that never left me. And I guess even when, say, the permanent diaconate became an option here in Tuam, I still had to question myself to be sure that it was something I wanted. Not that I wanted because I couldn't become a priest. It was never seen as plan B. It was just seen as that of all the stuff that I was doing as a married person, that this was another calling to me to take that involvement to a deeper level. I guess if I can be presence of our Lord in people's lives, either officially in a parish or in my other day-to-day life, I think it would be well spent.
That's Cathal Galligan there speaking to Evelyn. Evelyn, thank you very much. Just listening really carefully to what Cathal had to say about his duties and his responsibilities as a permanent lay deacon. And there is nothing in there that seemed to explain why the Catholic Church would not allow women to fulfil that role. It is bizarre, given what we heard earlier about the shortage of priests. But there we go. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.